All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Like, I have a debt to pay to them guys. We're going to win a Stanley Cup for them.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Can't Get a Save in the First 5 Minutes of the Game. Dominate the best teams in the league. Can't make a power play goal to save your fucking soul. Can't fucking score a goal late in the game. Can't win in overtime. Podcast. Did I mention the power play sucks? Oh, and it's all Daryl's fault.
Man, oh, man, that Daryl Sutter is system that limits offense. They only put up, like, what, 60 shots against the best defensive team in the league and put up, like, 20 high-danger scoring chances against the best defensive team in the league, more than they've given up all season to any team. God damn, that Daryl Sutter system is sure limiting defensively, offensively, man. Holy shit.
It was funny because somebody halfway through the period when Markstrom went in, no, halfway through the game, I mean, second period when Markstrom goes in, is like, I like how their new modus operandi is, your goaltending's so bad, we're not going to allow any shots. Like, they... That I get it. They're on, Boston's on the road. They played the night before. So, yeah, they're fatigued. But that was a fucking absolute domination clinic. Could you imagine if the goaltending wasn't horrendous?
They would have won like 7-0 or at least 3-0.
How about we switched the goaltenders? It would have been 13-0 after the first period.
Easily. The best is like when it's like, it's literally shots are like 41-9 and it's 2-0.
Yeah, I took a screenshot, tweeted it. It was. Here, I'll give you the actual.
And I think, and the Arizona game was like that too. It was literally like the shots are like 40-8 and it's 3-1 Coyotes. It was like, holy shit.
Yeah, actual screenshot, and I think the discrepancy just got bigger, but 3 minutes and 31 seconds left in the first period. The shots are 19-4. 2-0 Boston. And it's not like, dude, a lot of these games, they are perimeter shots and they're frustrating because you're like, well, it's the same fuck. I don't understand the broadcast. They're the ones broadcasting. Don't they realize it's the same storyline every fucking game? Holy shit, the Flames should be up by 5 goals by now. I'm shocked. How are you shocked?
This happened 8 times this week.
You're living Groundhog Day. You don't remember the last 20 broadcasts where the exact same storyline took place? This is like the epitome, though. This is the best team in the league. This is Boston. They're like going to set league records for their fucking season record. Are they not? Aren't they on pace?
On pace for most wins in a season.
Thanks to us, we'll put our hand in that as well.
Yep.
Can't hold on to a fucking lead. Can't score a goal late in the game when it's tied. Sure as shit can't score in overtime.
Overtime, forget about it.
Oh, I got an idea. Let's fucking send two guys. It's 3-on-3. Let's send two guys to chase one guy behind the net. That sounds like it'll work out well. I didn't see the part where Huberto elected to not shoot on a goaltender with no stick. But a lot of people were mentioning it. I was too busy fucking tweeting about other things that were making me mad. But fuck, what is wrong with these people?
It's just like,
we're cursed. We know that.
It's literally cursed. Like, that's it. That's got to be it. That was the best game they've played in how many, like, and the first two shots go in.
God.
Like, it's unreal. And like, you gotta feel like,
dude, when is this gonna end?
You gotta feel for the guy. Like, not that they've been great this year, and they sure have a hell of a time locking down games and scoring goals, but it's just like, okay, here we go. Goal, goal. Like, fuck.
Dude,
what are you supposed to do with that?
Dude, now it's both goaltenders? Fuck me. Are you kidding? That's back to back games. Okay, so Jacob Markstrom does it. Who did we play?
When did he play? He didn't play in Vladar. He did
it against Colorado, wasn't it?
Yeah, Colorado. That's right.
Good fucking luck coming back from Colorado by giving up early goals, goaltender. So Markstrom does it. Everybody's just like, are you fucking kidding me? And they scored 2 goals in their first 5 shots, right? Markstrom?
Yeah, the first shot went in, right?
Yeah, first shot goes
2-on-5, yeah.
And hey, the Flames came out to a great start, much like they did with Boston. And I don't give a fuck who you think you are, if you're covering hockey or even sports. Starting every single fucking game behind the eight ball is very mentally draining. It's mentally challenging. Hey, we do it as fans. You're sitting like, holy fuck, here we go again. What's this game going to bring? We're already down 2-0 on 2 shots. Do we have a hope in hell? At that point, how do you trust your goaltenders to make any save ever?
Well, especially when you're playing so tight defensively. Like you said, like the goal now is, okay, we can't allow any shots. And they're doing a hell of a job of it, right? Like, who keeps a team like Boston under 20 shots? That was the lowest total of high danger scoring chances Boston had last night. At 5-on-5, they had two. Like, no team has two in a game. And
how many goals did they score?
They score 4 goals. So it's like the defense. I've seen people arguing, oh, the defense is there's so many, they're making too many mistakes. It's like, okay, well, look at Boston. They're the best defensive team in the league. They made a lot of mistakes. I don't know if you watched the Oilers game where they played them. A lot of mistakes in that game, too. But Swayman made saves. They made mistakes against the Flames. Allmark made saves. The Flames played a near perfect game last night, other than like a boneheaded play by Zadorov and some penalty shit. Oh,
fuck, I knew that was coming.
But like, as close as you can get to an error-free game in a hockey game that's 65 minutes. And they give up two scoring chances 5-on-5, and they lose 4-3.
And you also sent me after the game that that's the most high danger chances that Boston has given up all season at 18.
Yep. The Flames had 22 total and 18 at 5-on-5. The Flames generated the most single game high danger scoring chances against Boston in one game.
After the game, is it Jim Montgomery? Jim Montgomery says to Ryan Leslie, my heart goes out to those guys who just lost that game. How do you lose? How do you fucking lose that game? That was sheer domination 5-on-5. Well, we know how they lost the game. It's the same fucking storyline. Goaltending sucked. Couldn't make it key saves.
It's just, how is it so, like, consistently the same? Like, how is it so on brand? Like, how did that happen? Like, even I last night was like, they're going to find a way to pull this out. They have to.
Dude, how many people listening could have saved those first two shots? Or even one of the two?
Well, like, the first one is just
ridiculous. Oh my God, dude. Are you watching the puck? Are you watching the play? Are you in the net? Are you awake? Is this the goal? Fire the goaltending coaches.
Seriously, do something. Like, Daryl's steaming about this too. Like, they've asked him. He has been extremely supportive of the goalies all year, I would say.
Still is.
And he's being nice about it, but they're like, Daryl, is it frustrating? Yeah, it's frustrating.
That's one way to put it. How did, like, you have to fire the goaltending coaches? I've never heard of goaltender coach firing, but, like, change it up. Even if it's for the, like, you see teams do this. Was it Bruce Boudreau's fault? Probably not. Gotta change it up, though. What other choice do you have? Is it the goaltending coach's fault? I don't know. Potentially there's something wrong there.
Well, Markstrom seems to be playing deep in his net a lot. So does Vladar. Like, that Vegas goal. Vegas scores that goal to get within one the other night. Like, it's not a low danger shot. Like, the White Cloud is kind of like in the slot. He's in a dangerous area, but 9 goalies out of 10 are not sitting on their goal line like they're Mike Smith.
So who do we have? We have Siglett and LaBarbera. Is that who we got? So what's the history on these guys? Weren't they just like...
Well, I mean, Siglett's been around forever.
Like the Flames?
One of those Flames hiring. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, so like...
It's like, how the Flames have a lot of these like legacy guys who are like the Buttons are still around and just like guys who...
Yeah, Bradtree Living's still around.
Bradtree Living 10 years.
10 decades later.
Well, just give him a few more years to figure it out.
Yeah, he's coming on the wheelchair. He's so fucking old. We'll figure it out here.
He's done some good stuff.
It's not all his fault. What's he supposed to do? He can't even fucking wheel himself. He needs someone to push him in that wheelchair. You can't fucking expect him to manage the team. Come on.
But it's unreal. And I fully expect Daryl to go full Markstrom for the rest of the season. Because...
Well, are you kidding me, Dan Vladar? You're worse now.
He's actually worse. And this is kind of what I was saying during my... I know last time we're like, you have to give Vladar, but that was because Markstrom shit the bed. But it's not like Vladar has been exceptional this year.
No, like, you look across the board, the only difference is he's getting you wins. Markstrom wasn't. But
exactly.
Markstrom was letting in more early goals. Now they're both doing it. Like, they're both still doing it.
It's unbelievable. In the month...
How many weeks of hockey has this been?
In the month of February, Dan Vladar's save percentage is 818, and Jacob Markstrom's is 855
in the entire month.
That's unbelievable.
I'm sorry, but these goaltender coaches should not have a job here at the end of the season. I don't even care if it's their fault or not. You need to change. You need to freshen up their approach. You got to change something. Change something. You always hear this, the player just needs a new scenery. How about a fucking, they need a new coach to give them some new scenery if they're not leaving? Like, fuck.
Well, again, I said when they signed Markstrom, they should have brought Ian Clark with them.
Well, yeah, that's way too above Brad's head, isn't it?
Apparently.
Well, is there a connection for the fucking coaching in there?
But it is like something is amiss because...
Dude.
you just can't be this bad. Like, they can't be this bad. They've been the two worst. They've been the worst goalies in the league, probably, as a pairing.
The tandem.
I don't think that's even up for debate.
Well, weren't you throwing up stats? They were ranked 28th the last we looked. That was 2 weeks ago. They've only gotten worse.
Save percentage, the Flames are currently 29th. The only teams who have been worse are LA, San Jose, and Vancouver. There's only three. And that's just 5-on-5, so.
So LA can score power play goals and we can't? Is that why they're not even that far ahead of us? These teams are four points ahead of us?
It's just like,
I'm still baffled. Like,
if we had, not even if we had league average goaltending, because I keep hearing that league average. If we had like bottom third, a little bit above the worst.
If we had Mike Smith.
If we had Mike Smith, we would be in a playoff spot. If we had a goalie who was confident, we'd be first in the division. And I don't think there's any doubt in my mind of that with how dominant this team has been 5-on-5 this year. It's just crazy. And they've lost, what, 24 one-goal games they've lost.
Dude,
holy shit.
That's pathetic.
If you win five of those, you're in the playoffs.
I don't understand how, as a collective hive mind group, you can lose 24 one-goal games.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand how this can be such a, like, it's literally like an algorithm at this point. It's like, right, like there's so many variables in hockey. It's impressive that they've been able to be this consistent in the way in which they lose. It's unreal.
It's like it's habitual now.
It's like beyond habitual.
I mean, you see that. I mean, that clip of Jacob Peltier and Jonathan Huberdeau after Huberdeau's goal on the bench. I hope everybody saw this. This is the highlight of 2023 so far. What has been better than this? We did have a couple of good wins, but Jacob Peltier is just so fucking full of energy, full of life, full of positivity that he's got to be having an impact on the dressing room as a whole. Although maybe not, but you see Huberdeau get his goal, then Peltier is like, you know, Hugging him, shaking him. Yes, yes.
In his face, yes. You better watch it, or that might be. Shouldn't be too much energy.
All of a sudden, Huberdeau cracks a smile, and then he's got a fucking shit-eating grin. It's just like, that was contagious energy, man. That was awesome. Love to see that. That was like the other day. I can't remember what game it was, because they're all, like you said, they're all the same. Every single game is the same as the other one. There are no two different games. They're all the same. But I think it was someone on social media saying, did you see the start of overtime? There's Peltier trying to fire up the living dead on the bench. And like, yeah, like you said, don't get too excited. Lucic probably won't like that.
Lucic will tell you to calm it down.
Don't get too high. What do you mean? Don't get, like, where's your average? Mope? Keep it in Mopeville? Mopeville. Anything above that is too high. Lucic sure wanted to score against Boston and try and get
to get them to trade for him.
Exactly. That was the hardest I've seen him try to score all season. Still couldn't do it.
Still can't do it. Wide open net, doink.
It's funny. You were saying
as bad as he wants to go to Boston, they don't want him.
You were saying this. Because, I mean, look at all the factors. Can't get a save. Like, literally, what is going on? I don't think Vladar is this bad. I know Jacob Markstrom's not this bad. It's like some weird fucking voodoo juju thing. It's all between the ears for both these guys now. Now it's both of them. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, well, the goaltending... Because even now, like, you're looking at all these trades going on, and you're like, well, dude, what are we actually 4 points out of the... Is that where we are? Let's see.
I think we're five.
Yeah. 5 points back of three teams. 5 points back of three teams you could catch. With how many games remaining? 21 games.
21?
21 games. That's a quarter of a season. A quarter of a season left. You're 5 points back. And you're like, okay, well, the goaltending can't get worse. I guess it could stay the same. It gets worse. Is it going to get worse? Is the next week going to get worse? Are they going to start letting in three out of the first five shots? Is that going to be the mainstay? It's so weird. It's just bizarre. We're living in a bizarre reality right now with this Calgary Flames team. And like you said, add up all the things, the save things. How many fucking posts?
We've got to lead the freaking universe.
Well, we do lead the league. I mean, that was, we were still hitting a post per game since I think we took over the lead in the league. I would assume we're still in first. How many open nets do we miss? How many posts?
How many did Mangiapane and Backlund miss themselves combined in the last two games? Like 15?
Zadorov goes and absolutely cranks some guy. Knocks over Mangiapane goal. I don't like the defense on that one bit. I don't know why Tanev doesn't come out right away. You got to close the gap instantly. Instead, he's backing in. And then his partner, was it Hanifin?
I think it was Dubé who was back there because Zadorov decided to freaking rush the blue line and it's kill that guy for some reason.
They're both kind of standing still on a 2-on-2. Each take a man. That's it. Dubé, you're responsible for the guy wide open in front. He doesn't even do that. He's like trying to block the pass.
But that's the thing, right? Is like any little mistake ends up in our net. And no matter what we do.
No, it's like an inevitability.
Yeah, we can't. Nothing goes right the other way. Like the Flames, here's a good marker. So PDO has always been just like a good, not a good, but like a used indicator for luck. It's shooting percentage combined with save percentage. So, you know, if a team's doing surprisingly well, you look at their PDO and it's like, oh, they're just riding a shooting percentage, save percentage bender. The Flames are dead last this year in PDO, shooting percentage and save percentage combined. Have we had a good goaltending performance in one game this year where it's like, wow, Vladar or Markstrom was stood on their head tonight?
I think there was maybe one game early in the season, I think, that Markstrom made like a 10. No.
I can't remember it.
Even he was kind of shaky, but I think he made a 10 beller save on Kopitar on the side of the net or something like that. That's vague. That's a vague memory. That seems like ages ago.
Have they even played LA this year? I don't even remember.
So, yeah, that's an interesting stat because then you're like, okay, well, but that's my thing is like, okay, well, you can only go up. When the fuck is up going to happen?
Right? Like, when is this PDO bender going to end and normalize a little bit?
It's like a season-long bender. I think that's what we're coming to. I don't know if, do you think, I mean, Daryl's holding on to, like, dude, 3 points. I mean, three teams back 5 points. Potential 40. Yeah. There's potential 40-something points remaining on the board.
Dude, Daryl's insane. He dead ass. He said it twice this week. He said it last week. He's like, we could win 25 in a row. And then he said it again today. He's like, I still think we can win 21 in a row.
Well, apparently after this grueling stretch, the teams get easier, but that doesn't ease my mind.
It's just like the teams in front of them are like fumbling and bumbling and screwing up. Like Seattle and Winnipeg have just like screwed up so much the last few weeks, and the Flames just cannot get out of their own way. If you even win if you win that game against Ottawa that you were up 3-1 with 4 minutes left, and you beat Detroit once, you're right in this thing.
If you don't blow leads against Boston and Vegas.
Dude, if you win those two games, you're right there. But now it's just like so close yet so far. It's just infuriating how like, and not even just like, it's just unreal how slim the margin has been, but yet they continue to blow it. Like you think they win three overtime games this year. They're right there. They win like five of these 24 one goal games they've lost. They're right there. They get like five more saves and five, like literally that's the balance of our season. Like five more goals and five more saves. And we'd be like in a divisional playoffs. Fucking wild. I don't think I've ever seen this before because like we had that one year with Gallatin in 2017, 2018, where they were kind of like, it was like one of those seasons where it was like, They just had shit luck, couldn't get any chances. But I don't recall like a team being this good on a nightly basis and not winning games and having this poor of goaltending. Like, this is unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, even their inability to finish is not what's killing them. It's just contributing to the biggest issue, which is the goaltending.
It's insane. It is, and that is the last thing anybody thought would be a problem with this team this year.
I mean, I see a lot of people after every fucking first shot that goes in, when everybody's like, oh my God, not again. Oh, can't blame them. McKinnon, great shot. Just like, at what point? He's done it 7 times now. And I don't even know what the stat is for the... I mean, obviously, they don't keep the stat. Otherwise, we would have heard it. How many times has the first... How many goals have our goaltenders allowed in the first 5 shots of the game?
It's a lot. I was going to start doing the research until I realized how manual it would be, and I stopped. Oh, so.
Yeah, so was I. I was like, I started one game. I'm like, fuck this. Somebody do it.
Not me.
How about Sportsnet stats? Get a statistician to do it. They got to have some sort of spreadsheet that makes it easy.
Well, just run a program. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah. Press a button. Let's go. Give us some stats. But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Here's a good proxy. The five worst teams, the five teams who are the worst to get goals against in the first period. Vancouver's the worst, 80. Anaheim's the second worst, 73. Chicago's third worst, 68. Ottawa, 62. Then us, 61. So there's a good proxy. We're in the bottom five teams in the league in goals against in the first period.
Yeah, but... compare us to all those teams, the shots allowed, we're definitely first.
Oh, dude, it's not even close. We're the second best. We have the second fewest shots allowed in the league behind only Carolina. And we're top five in expected goals against, so quality shots, because everybody's like, no, but you got to count the quality. Yeah, they do. The Flames do not give up very much.
So this is what I was going to say is, after every single one of these fucking first goals goes in, you know, you can't blame the goaltender. Everyone's like, oh, it's the fucking defense. They're giving up way too many high danger chances. And I don't disagree that they're giving up more than they were last season. But statistically speaking, that's an incorrect fact. Because well, again, what are we, like, top 10?
I think you live in a bubble world if you think teams don't get scoring chances against. Again, like, I don't know if anybody watched the Boston-Edmonton game. Edmonton outchanced Boston, but Swayman was great. Again, like, teams give up chances. That's why you have a goalie. That's why you pay a goalie a lot of money, because breakdowns are going to happen in a game. And when you limit them to two,
fuck,
you'd think you could win.
You would think. You would think two would ensure you would win the game when you had 18.
The Flames, if you want to go total high danger chances against this season, the Flames are fifth best in total at 5-on-5. If you go just by rates, so you kind of equal it out for everybody, the Flames are also fifth best. So,
yeah, but it's not their fault. They're, fifth best.
Like, you look at some of these other teams. Oh, no, Sutter, like,
yeah, fucking.
Colorado is in the middle of the pack. Tampa Bay and Colorado are 16-17. How are they winning games? How are they so good? Right? Like, Dallas is down there. Dallas is 13th in high danger chances against per 60 minutes. We are with the elite of the elite in terms of being a defensive club. It's just unreal.
Dude, you're still a 5-game win streak away from turning your season around. It's so fucking bizarre. Like, okay, since the break, we've played 11 games. Guess how many wins we have?
Three.
Two.
Two?
Two wins.
Yeah, they're not.
You're right, three.
I think there's three, yeah.
Yeah, Buffalo, Rangers, right. and Arizona. Yeah, three. Three.
And again,
out of 11 games,
when was the break? Wins. When was the All-Star break?
This fan base just needs some fucking wins, man. That's why everybody's so angst. The angst is like an all-time high because we're not getting the win. You can't feel good unless you get the win. You can dominate Boston all you want. You can get your little fucking loser point every fucking time if you want. But unless you get the win as a fan, you don't feel good.
Yeah, it's gross. It feels gross. All these loser points are gross.
One, and like, obviously, this is from experience speaking from the last 3 weeks. One win a week doesn't cut it. We need more. Does it feel good enough? I need at least two. One win, I think.
Holy cow.
Remember when 18-19, like, oh, we're going to win this game. Win. Oh, we're going to win this next game. Win. Like, win every fucking night.
Win, 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 win. Last year, win, win, win. We're going to win. Yeah, but no problem. We're going to win. Didn't even know what losing felt like when he lost. You're like, eh, whatever. No big deal. We got the next one.
Do you like the change in D pairings? Because I do.
I like it a lot. I've been clamoring for it forever.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Much better.
I thought Hanifin had a pretty good game last game.
He did until he.
It'd sure be nice if he could hit the fucking net from 4 feet away.
He had like
he had like eight
shot attempts last night. I don't even know if one hit the net.
Why is he bother even shooting?
He shouldn't.
What I think he should try is try shooting wide, see what happens.
If you purposely try to miss, he's like, George, do the opposite. If you purposely try to miss, you might hit the net.
Or just try and just go five hole every time. At least you know you're going to get it on net, probably. He should not be trying to pick anything.
I think he works. We've seen him work good with Tanev in the bubble year. He was really good when Gio and Rasmus were a mess. I just like those because, like, I think Uyghur and Tanev are like a great shutdown pairing, but I think you want to maximize. Yeah, you can't afford to have 4 and 5-5 making.
Tweedle fucking dumb there, fucking.
Tweedledee and Tweedle dumbass out there. They're just like they're both again. Like I think Tanev and Uyghur are good at what they're good at, and Anderson and Hanifin are good at what they're good at. But like, too many mistakes happen when 5-5 and 4 are on the ice.
Yeah, big time. Sutter said he's trying to get Anderson back, eh?
Yeah, get him going a bit. Get him going from his little scooter accident. Is that the deal?
Yeah, from the head trauma. Looks like he's playing like a head trauma.
Yeah, to be fair, he always sometimes. Most of the time.
Yeah, no,
looks like that in the D zone.
I think maybe our goalies have the head trauma, but
yeah.
Or at least one of them for sure. I mean, that Boston game, dude. It's such a mixed bag because you're already so frustrated as a fan. And then the first two goals or shots on goal go in. You're down. You're like, oh my God, we're down to Boston. Good fucking luck. And then the discrepancy in shots keeps building and building and building. Coleman fucking gets you close. Dubé ties it up, right?
Yep. He's been clutch lately. Well, clutch as you can be when you know you're going to lose the lead.
And then you know you're right back in the game, and then you go ahead. Who got us going? Who scored against going ahead? Oh, Huberto. Hooby-dooby-doo. I think that was going to go to Pelche anyways if it didn't go off the till.
Well, and that's what's so frustrating too is like these guys finally have like started to really, I think, you're seeing the dividends of what Daryl's been making them do all year, like the last few games, where it's just like, holy shit, we are dominant, right? And I feel like the more of like the belief system versus relief system has kicked in, but then the goaltending just fucks you up. It's like they were down 2-0 and didn't show any signs of like, yeah, throwing it in. They were like balls to the wall, awesome, after getting down 2-0 and fight back and get the lead, and then no, just infuriating.
You know what's interesting though? Because that was... At what point in the third period was this? Let me look. So the Huberto goal is almost, it's basically halfway through the period. And after that, I watched the game at my parents' place last night. And I said to my dad, I'm like, watch, I know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to get a horse shit call. One, the Bruins will tie it up on a power play. Then we're going to lose in overtime. And look, the Backlund call, I guess if you slow it down, yeah, it's probably a penalty. But like, is it blatant? Is it stuff you've been calling all game long both ways? Is it, and that's the thing, is just like, we can't catch a break. We can't get a bounce. everything's going against us. I feel like that Huberto goal, we were rewarded for all the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you can't stop. Like, you have to, these guys, I don't know, they got to push through this somehow. Like, are we just doomed from the onset? Like, do we even stand a chance?
I don't think so, but.
Is this just the season from hell?
Yes.
Because they're still right there. I mean, look at, like, you're a good 5-on-5 team. There's no denying it. You just proved it. We'll see what kind of tests the Leafs give us tomorrow night. They're playing again tonight against the Oilers. So we're getting some luck there. Playing the, you know, two great teams on second half of back-to-backs. Fuck. I just don't know, man. Like, is it just luck? I mean, obviously so much goes into it.
Yeah,
but it just seems like
it's been brutal luck this year. Like, honestly.
It just seems like, when is it going to turn? It just doesn't feel like it's ever going to turn.
If it was going to turn, maybe, it would have turned.
So like, maybe the whole season.
Again, we keep having these games where, like, yeah, there's a turning point, and then same shit afterwards. So,
dude, you can't. You're playing, what, three games on a week on average? You're only winning one game a week.
I would say yes. Right, your question, is this right off? Yes, it's right off. You freaking burn. You forget this ever happened. You just, like, next year is next year, and this is just, this, you forget it.
Darryl's not forgetting. He's still going for it.
Oh, yeah. Going to win 21 straight. I believe we can do that.
Hey, who knows? Maybe.
Man, what is he's so negative, eh?
Maybe he's the catalyst.
Listen, I'm never going to count Darryl's out, right?
Right.
Like, but I just, based on the absolute shit show. But hey, it would be something to see maybe all of our fortunes turn around in the last 20 games and we go on an absolute heater. What will happen is we'll be, like, mathematically eliminated and then go on the heater. That's what will happen. You know that. Well, so what's going to happen?
Yeah, and we'll be 1 point out of a playoff spot. Finish, get that 16th pick.
Yeah, you know it.
Everybody knows it. Unless you know what would have to happen, probably? Some sort of freak thing would have to happen. Like, we play the Leafs tomorrow night. What kind of a freak thing would have to happen?
Maybe, like, if Markstrom gets hurt and Wolf has to come and play and he's like Kiprusoff / Binnington, the second coming.
Mark Giordano comes down and take a clapper. He's blasting it. Goes off Markstrom's collarbone. Then Vladar comes in, gets a concussion. Then the Zamboni driver comes and we lose the game. But that means Wolf and who the hell else?
Oscar Dansk.
Who the hell's that?
The backup in Calgary for the Wranglers.
Okay, let's talk about Wolf for a sec, because this is the other thing that I see a lot. I see a lot of the whole, it's not the goalie's fault. It's the team allowing too many high danger chances night in and night out, which it's not actually statistically true.
No. Or in reality true. And I think if you just watch the Flames play, that might be your conclusion. But again, go watch every other team on any given night and you'll see how stingy the Flames actually are.
The other thing is, I hear, because it's just like, it's at what point does management not consider bringing Wolf up? If the goaltending is not going to get any better and you're actually not giving up, like, do you think where's Darryl out with his goalies? He's going to be banging his head against the wall.
Oh, dude, he's ready to kill himself.
Every Dustin Wolf tweet, a lot of people are like, oh no, we can't ruin the guy. Bring him up? Are we crazy? Ruin his career? I just don't understand how giving a young guy a shot right now. I mean, all throughout his career, he's dominated at every level. I'm not saying it's going to work and he'd be a savior. Do you think he's not going to be as good as fucking our goaltending now?
It can't be any worse. Like, people act as if you'd bring him up and be like, listen, this is all on you right now. If you don't perform,
you're fucked.
Yeah, and you're never going to play again. It's like,
we'll take you out back. we'll clone you, and we're gonna drown you under the river. We're gonna throw you into the fucking, what's the river called there?
Elbow. The Bow River, the Elbow.
Oh. Put him in the Elbow. It's even slower, yeah. Slower, more painful.
But it's like seems like it wouldn't be that far fetched to be like, hey, you are absolutely lighting up the AHL. You're setting all kinds of records for wins by a goal. He has the most career wins by a goalie before turning 22 in AHL history, passing Tuukka Rask like 3-4 weeks ago. Come up and play a few games as a reward. Like, how, I don't know how it's any, it's just different because it's a goalie and people don't understand goalies.
You put him in front of this defense? What, the one?
Yeah, the best defense in the league.
The one that allows the fifth fewest high danger chances league wide.
Like, that, I mean, I feel like Dustin Wolf has had to overcome a lot in his career. I feel like if he came in and got like played kind of a few bad games where he didn't win, that would be just a blip on his radar. Like, the guy pretty much almost didn't get drafted. The Flames were just like, yeah, we'll draft you last. He was the last pick. This guy's been through a lot. I feel like he has some wherewithal. And if playing a few games when he's 21 and like is going to ruin him, I don't know if he'd ever make it anyways. I don't know. It's people say that because we don't really understand goalie development, but if I were the Flames, I would have tried it already because it's like Hail Mary time and you've got the you've got the best goalie in the AHL down there, like by a huge margin.
Hey, I mean, we get beat by AHL goalies.
Exactly.
On every given week.
Who was that
goalie?
It was Arison, Samuel Arison.
We're not ruining their careers. We're fucking making them. We're kickstarting them. Everybody's going on about, oh, that's way too much pressure to put on a kid.
That's way too much pressure. He wins. Well, then don't. 58 save performance.
Yeah. Well, then it's all about how you frame it. Like you said, gun to your head, kid. Do it or you blow your fucking brains out. Yeah, he's not going to do well. Versus, hey, we don't expect dick all. Go and let 8 goals if you want. We're just going to have a shot, see how you do, see if
it's a reward. Come up to the show for a bit. It's here's a reward for playing so well this year.
Take a shot. See if you're any better than these fucking losers.
Although after a week with the goaltending coaches, he'd probably be just as bad.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's the real legit concern. Don't get him near those fucking two.
So it was hilarious because Urson, the guy on Philly who like was unbelievable against us. I saw him in some shootout against, I don't know if it was one of the Canucks teams, but he pulled some great moves. Like, scores on Urson. I was like, that's the same guy that just beat us in the actual NHL like 2 weeks ago.
Got his first NHL win.
Yep.
Kickstart his career. You tell me Dustin Wolf wouldn't want a shot? Oh, don't you're gonna ruin his mental. He doesn't want to play in the NHL. I don't get it. Everybody wants to play in the NHL. You tell him he's not like fucking. I want a shot.
Well, like, okay.
No, I want to wait.
I just want to wait because I don't want to ruin my confidence. Thanks.
Yeah, I know the team up there really needs some goaltending saves and a win, but I'm not ready yet.
Are they ruining Spencer Knight by like he played 21 games this year? What about Mads Søgaard, who just beat us? He's played 5 games. He's 22.
Bring up that random name list.
Let's go. Lucas Dostal has played 10 games.
More there's at least 8 more examples.
Like when did Ottinger play his first NHL game? Look it up right now. He's 24 right now. Jake Ottinger's 24. Can you believe that? So he played his first game in 2021. He would have been 21. 3 years ago.
Holy. How old?
What's wrong with that?
He must have been a few months older than, I mean, come on. At least a few days, too.
Yeah, those days make the difference, eh?
Yeah, those few days, they make the difference between ruining his career and not.
Ottinger played 29 games in the 2020-2021 season.
There's a lot of 20s there, bro. I'm going to go get a lottery ticket. 2020.
And that would have been his age, what, 21, right? 22, I guess. So he's 1 year older, playing 29 games, had 11 wins that year, .911 save percentage, 9-11? How good would a 9-11 save percentage be on this defensive team that's the Calgary Flames right now?
Hell, I'll take a fucking 880.
I'll take freaking 900. I'll take 899.
It's so bad right now.
How about anything better than 855? That'd be sweet. But yeah, I don't know. I never expected them to, but I thought it was... I think it would help. I don't see the downside.
How many goals? I'm going to be serious here. I think that the Leafs will score two goals on their first five shots tomorrow night.
Dude, Matthews will score two goals on his first, like, yeah, it will be so easy for him. I mean, Markstrom does come in last night and make some big saves. But, I mean, big saves haven't been the problem. It's been...
Yeah, but, dude, like, how many shots did they have? I mean, that was the other thing, too. I'm like...
Five.
Can we bring up Wolf, please? And someone's like, oh, you get eaten alive out there. I'm like, dude, they have five shots. It's like...
They had two scoring chances.
Like, you're... Like, he's going to be fine. What's the most he's going to let in? The same amount of goals that Vladar did? Two on five shots?
What's the worst that can happen? He can have, yeah, exactly, let the first two goals in. It's the precedent around here. It's no big deal. Yeah,
that's okay. We're used to it by now. At least we won't hate the guy for it. The Colorado game was absolute fucking shit canning. That one was tough to watch.
Yeah, it
was actually, you know what? That's, you know how you say, look, you give yourself a few games a year to change the channel. I couldn't.
Yeah, watch it. I tuned out. I had it on in the background, but I was not actively watching.
I switched to women's curling, and that was actually quite a lot better than the Flames game.
Oh my lord!
I'm not even kidding. I did. The Vegas game. Okay, because here's the thing. Since we recorded last, you had the Boston, Colorado, Vegas, and Arizona games. Weren't they down against Arizona too? Like,
dude, the shots were like 41-9.
What was the score? Because they came back.
It was three. They were down 3-1.
They were down 3-1. Mm. Yeah, that was the biggest shot differential in franchise history. Was that the one?
Must have been.
At least they came back.
Can you imagine losing to Arizona?
This is our fucking life, game after game. Now it's just like commonplace. Like when it happens, you're like, oh fuck. You're not shocked anymore. You just don't like it. But yeah, they come back. The Arizona game, that was actually a fun comeback. I know you.
Was it? I didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was minus 40 and your power went out.
Yeah, power outage was only like, I think it was only minus 35. So that's
okay. And then your car started on fire.
Oh, yeah, that was fun too. And now I have frostbite on my fingers. Can't feel anything on my right hand. So yeah, I'm in great shape.
So you were sitting in the.
It was a great night. And you're texting me like 3-1. I'm like trying to put out a fire.
I'm like giving you updates about how bad we suck.
It's like grab the fire extinguisher. Fire department's there. Look at my phone. 4-1. Oh my god! Fire!
You're like, is everything you can do not to fucking throw yourself into it, eh?
It was real fun.
Hey folks, just a word from some sponsors. So DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. You can make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you can get another shot to cash in. You can throw it out on all major action. For golf, MMA, baseball, everything. There's same game parlay, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props. You have endless betting options. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That promo code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. If you want to save $20 on some tickets to a sporting event or a concert, you can use our promo code INTHEDOMEPOD over at SeatGeek.com on your first purchase. So you'll save $20 on your first purchase of $50 or more with our promo code INTHEDOMEPOD. Back to the show.
I'm going to pull up the game score real quick because, hey, we got to take our wins whenever the fuck we can. I don't care who it is. Arizona?
Well, that was a... I'll take it. The Flames outshoot them 51-14. But what was crazy is Arizona had 14 shots, but they had 8 high dangerous chances at 5-on-5.
Yeah. So Lucic scores.
Oh, God.
That'll probably be his last goal of the season.
I sure hope so.
Lindholm, on the power play. Yeah, they had 3 power play goals. That was great. Oh, yeah, Pelche scored
the game winner, didn't he? Yep,
the go-ahead game winner. Dewar had – fuck, how good does Dewar look?
Dude, he was great against Boston. Holy shit, he was banging bodies and just flying around. He looked awesome.
Dude, he's got wheels for how big he is, hey?
Dude, he's legit. He's like Hathaway 2.0. Maybe not as mean or tough, but
– I don't see how these two guys get sent back down other than to maybe win a championship in the AHL. Once the season's over here.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, somebody was saying, maybe it was Kent Wilson. But at this point, if you're not going to make the playoffs, and I'm not saying quit, like, you still try. Because you're right, fuck it. Like, it's just, I don't know. What will turn this weird funk around, if anything? So if nothing will... You still shouldn't quit because then that's good juju going into the next season. You didn't give up. You know, some good things will happen. Although, do you sell? I guess we'll probably have to go into that conversation next. But somebody, I think it was Kent, was saying that, fuck these. Like, you got all these vets coming off the books, right?
Richie. Cannot wait.
Lewis. Richie Lewis, Lucic. Is there one more
that I'm missing? I think that's it. That's plenty.
Now, as long as Brad doesn't go out and fucking sign 3 more 13th forwards fucking worth fucking whatever the fuck they are that we don't need. Like Dewar and Pelche have been 2 of your best players in the last 5 to 8 games. No exaggeration.
That's what we've been saying for years. It's like, why do you continue to populate the bottom six with these shitty plugs when you could just have kids on the cheap be way better performers?
Like, Dewar is helping this team win games. Pelche is helping this team win games. So, but anyways.
Lucic?
But anyways, at this point, even if you didn't do anything and just let all these old contracts, please don't re-sign Lewis. Please don't re-sign Richie. Like, I can't trust Brad not to do that. But
the one thing that might prevent him from doing that is that the Flames are literally already pretty much capped out for next year. So,
okay. So if he actually can't, then he won't. But he'd like to.
He usually finds a way, but he might be handcuffed next year.
Or is this proof in the pudding? I mean. Even Rozicka, like these 3 guys should be a shoe-in to make the team next year. You don't even need to add much. If you have the exact same if you ice the exact same roster as the current, like you said, maybe you add a little bit of scoring ability.
If you can make a hockey trade for somebody and get somebody to score some goals, I think you're looking like you're feeling okay heading into next year.
With these young guys? A year further in their development. What do you think of Phillips? Because obviously he's due for a new contract, right? We're probably going to lose him, right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if another organization offered him a contract. I don't think he would say no. What if the Flames give him a pro contract? I don't know. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Because you're looking at like Pelche, Dewar, Rozicka. Although Dewar made some hay pretty quick. So did Pelche, relatively speaking. But they both got longer looks than Phillips. And Phillips was the first to come up. I still feel like he didn't get a long enough look.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he showed a lot in the limited time he was given. I don't think he showed, like, when Pelche played, like, right, it was like, yeah, that guy belongs in the NHL. It's like so clear. Like, you probably don't see that from Phillips, given his skill set. Like, I think most people are like, oh, he's the next Johnny Gaudreau. It's like, well, I think he's probably maybe closer to Arsene Zarnik with upside as opposed to like the best player, one of the best small players ever. But he still showed enough that it was like, yeah, you'd like to see more.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, so I'm not sure if we'll see him next year. I'm just thinking, like, if you're looking at, okay, well, let's go this way, because on the last podcast, we still had this whole last week of play, the last four games that we've been talking about, plus the Toronto game tomorrow night, maybe tonight, depending on when this releases, but the whole thing was going to be deadline is we're 2 days away from deadline, a little bit less now because it's later in the day. And by then, this team's directional fate will be sealed. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to have any more clarity because we're dealing
with Bradshaw. I think a lot of people on the outside do, like, but like exactly. Like,
sorry, we're dealing with Bradshaw Living, the guy that seems not to really have a clear-cut vision ever. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Time will tell. It'll all play out. But you're sitting here and Brad's still on the fence, I think. He knows that he can't buy. He knows that much. But should he sell? Obviously, there's a big argument as to, yeah, he should. Because, I mean, as you've been pointing out all week long, there's teams ahead of us in the standings that are fucking bringing home some nice fucking picks. Some big hauls.
Oh, dude, you look what Nashville and Washington specifically have done. It's unbelievable.
And Nashville has a higher winning percentage.
Nashville's ahead of us in the standings based on points percentage.
And they're selling. So they've made a decision.
And they're not just selling. They're like wholesale. I'm not saying you have to be like everybody is available. But if you can get an entire draft class for a guy who has 5 goals and Tanner Janot, you've got to at least consider like, hey, what can we do here? Because I mean, my whole thing, again, it comes back to this vision thing because it's not even just the Flames aren't performing up to their snuff and probably aren't going to make the playoffs. It's like, okay, what about, because a thought experiment was running through my brain is like, okay, let's say this team is the same next year. Everybody's back for the most part. Everybody in principle is back and you have an awesome year. At the end of the year, you're facing like a very similar situation you just went through when all core members of your team or a large chunk of core members of your team don't have contracts. So what if you have a great year next year and Hanifin's a UFA, Lindholm's a UFA, Backlund's a UFA, or Hanifin's an RFA, I guess. I know he is UFA, but you have like 3 or 4 or 5 and Shillington and Tanev and all these guys need contracts. What do? You're setting yourself up for a situation like you just had already. And some people say, oh, you deal with that later. You just saw what happened when you try to deal with that later. You either risk, you lose them for nothing, which this organization cannot handle another loss of a core member of the team for Dick All.
Or wouldn't it have been nice to get something back for Johnny Gaudreau or
how about Gio?
Mark Giordano? Like Gio, the whole thing with
Gio's the one that's just insane, man.
Yeah. If you knew that was coming, because did we even make the playoffs that year?
We were mathematically eliminated. I don't know if we were mathematically, but we were so far back at the trade deadline that I was just like, it was inexcusable to not trade him for something if you knew you weren't going to protect him.
What a fucking idiot, dude.
Like, come on. So, and that's the thing to me, like, because I've kind of been thinking about this, because like, I think people look at the Huberto and Kadri contracts as like, oh, those are anchor contracts and like anchor contracts kill teams. It's like, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Like you look at some teams who are good in the league right now with some big money deals on guys who aren't necessarily performing relative to their AAV. Like you look at Dallas, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin make shit tons of money. That team is still really good. It's because they have Robertson. They have Ottinger. They've grown Rupe Hintz. They have Miro Heiskanen and Issa Lindell. Like what's a killer is not replacing pieces in your lineup with talent. Like instead of turning Joe Nieuwendyk into Jerome Iginla, this team has started turning it into nothing. You didn't turn Mark Giordano into anything. You didn't turn Johnny Gaudreau into anything. And I mean, you can make the argument for like, oh, well, then you have the cap space and stuff. But I mean, you have to continue that replenishment cycle. That's what good teams, that's what successful teams in the league do so much. So that's where it's like, hey, if you walk into the next offseason with everybody's contract status, we don't know, you're going to either A, lose them for nothing, or all of these guys will be over the age of 28, the principal guys, in the 28 to 35 range with Backlund and Tanev. Do you really want to be committing a shit ton of money to any of those guys? So, like, I think the decisions have to be made, like, on who's staying and who's going, either in the summer or right now. Like, if you can, based on the prices right now, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, we'll give you a boatload for Tyler Toffoli or Chris Tanev or Michael Backlund, you have to consider it, I would think.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, to your point, because then when else are you ever building?
Exactly. You have to start building, right? And that's been Brad's problem. This, everybody thinks I just shit on for his dumb moves. It's more about like the things he doesn't do. It's like, what is your plan here? Is your like
building assets like for the future?
Exactly. Like the Flames have been so bad at that. It's like, rather than turning Joe Nieuwendyk to Jerome McGinley, they're more on the Jerome McGinley's Ben Hanowski and Morgan Klimchuk and freaking whoever, Kenny Augustino, right? And then it just, it's been too much of that and not enough turning assets into new assets.
Yeah. I mean, there's recent history. Like you said, you get the Dubé and the Rasmus Anderson came from second rounders.
Yeah. Like, again, you go back to the 2015 trade deadline and the 2016 trade deadline when Brad sold some stuff off. He sold Hudler, which is a pick that turns into Dubé. He sold Glenn Cross, and they made the playoffs that year, I may add, in 2015, and he still sold. He sold Glenn Cross, which turns into picks that you ended up getting Dougie Hamilton, which turns into Hanifin and Lindholm, and you get picks for, I think, the Chris Russell trade, you turn into Chillington, you trade Sven Berchi at the deadline for a pick that turns into Anderson. It's like, that's good asset management. Doing things like letting everybody walk away for nothing is like, and it's just, it's not saying that this situation is the same as that, but you have to consider it because,
well, I mean,
what's the plan? What is the plan is my question, yeah. I guess I'm really asking.
Well, and you've been banging this vision plan drum since the fucking time we started this thing. That's always been your biggest beef with Brad, is he never seems to really have a clear cut direction that he's committed to. And the biggest word is commitment, because here we are again. I mean, you're compare Nashville, because that's what you were doing. They're ahead of us. If you look at, they got games in hand, so they have a higher winning percentage. Technically, they're ahead of us in the standings. They've already decided they're selling. They're selling the farm. Probably what happened was, and I mean, they're on a bit of different trajectories, so there's that to consider. So probably going into the season, the GM makes a decision and says, if we're not at XYZ by this point in the season, we're selling. I don't care how fucking close we are. We got to start rebuilding. It's time. We need fresh blood. Like, could you imagine three more seasons of Calgary Flames hockey with the same roster getting older?
Well, and again, imagine you lose some of the guys who are on the team next year in free agency and then sign some of them to big deals when they're in like 28, 29, 30. Like, what if you sign Hanifin and Lindholm to like huge money deals next year and they're 28, 29, and then you have Kadri, Huberto, Coleman, Lindholm, Hanifin, like all locked up in way past prime years. Like, that's not a recipe for anything great.
You're seeing it also on the current roster with Peltier coming in. This guy was selected 23rd overall. He's a first round draft pick. He's late draft pick, but look how nice it is to reach into your cupboard and pull a guy like that into your roster. You tell me he's not making the team next year? Like, this guy's already having an impact on this team. He's only going to get better. Walker Dura, what round was he in?
I think they signed him as a free agent even.
I thought we picked him up in a later round or something.
He was a free agent college guy.
So I totally get what you're saying, man, in terms of Brad. I know it's tempting. you're always tempted to stand pat because you believe in the group. Path
of least resistance, believe in the group.
But
he said it. He finally dropped the first believe in the group of the year. I've been waiting for it. He dropped it last week.
Although I do see the tempting part of it, because if you're sitting there, and what was that stat with the save percentage goaltending? What's that called?
PDO, like we have the worst save percentage and shooting percentage in the entire league.
Yeah. If you're looking at the most common denominator underlying thing of causing you the most amount of unsuccessful results this season, is that, which it is. That's kind of a weird stat that should be, I could very easily normalize next season with the same roster. You're like, look at how weak the West is. All the big names went to the East. The West isn't going to be that much stronger this next year than it is now. If you should be higher up in the standings, but you can't fucking go post an end to save your life. You can't catch your goaltenders can't make the first two shots of the game ever. You can't score a goal late in the game and just like this, that, you're missing open nets. And maybe you do just hit the reset button and don't do much. Like honestly, with all the conversation, because we've had both, the one side where Brad should be stockpiling, maybe he makes, does he just trade one guy? Like, what would you actually do?
Yeah. I don't
given
even
all see, things considered.
I don't even see the need to like sell everything, right?
Who would you sell?
I think you come back with a similar group next year and you feel pretty good. I'm just saying you have to get ahead of next offseason. And if people are paying premiums for guys right now, why not just like, hey, yeah, I'll take a first and a second for Tyler Toffoli. Like, it sounds pretty good. Like, some of these guys are...
Can you replace him in free agency?
Possibly.
He's got a pretty good deal, though. He's
under $4 million, under $5 million. But he's going to be a UFA and an old UFA the next offseason. I would just be looking into, like... I think Brian McClellan in Washington has been pulled. So probably the best move. Like, Dmitry Orlov is a really good player, but according to reports, they're trying to sign him to an extension. He said he wanted like 7 or 8 years. He's not on the right side of 30. Well, he's like, what, 28 or something? Dmitry Orlov? Yeah, 30. He's just turning 30 this year. 31. He wanted a 7 or 8 year deal. They're like, nope, we'll ship you off for a huge haul. And then he turned that into Rasmus Sandin, who is like a stud young defenseman, right?
Yeah.
So like, that's a kind of move that I think Brad should be looking to do. It's like, you don't have to blow this team up and gut it, but you can make a few smart, prudent moves when the market, I don't know. It seems the market's past them. The Flames are now... So Pittsburgh traded Teddy Bluger today. The Flames are now the only team in the league who have not made a trade this year, which is insane. But if you can take advantage of a seller's market, which maybe it's passed by already, make a few more moves in the offseason, like, you don't have to gut this team, but you need to do something. So I would be looking at, like, hey, if somebody's offering you something for Toffoli, like, I know lots of – my list would be this. Get anything you can for Zadorov and Lewis. I don't think anybody wants Lucic, so you're not moving him. So anybody who wants Zadorov or Lewis, you give them both those guys for whatever you can get for them. I mean, I feel like Zadorov's money needs to come off next year anyways. I would say explore deals for guys like Toffoli, Tanev, and maybe Backlund. Like, if somebody's offering you a shit ton for either three of those guys, any of those guys, like, you have to look at it. They're older, right? And I wouldn't say no to that. I would try to I wouldn't be trading Lindholm. Like, if somebody cut, like, just for the sake of the thought, think about what you could get for Elias Lindholm, though. Like, especially if you, like,
Kings are handsome.
Yeah, like, if you retain salary, if you said, hey, do you want a 35 goal scorer Selkie nominee for, what does he make, four or something, like $2.5 million for the next 2 years? You could get anything. So I'd prefer
Imagine if you're in the contending category and you add Backlund as your 3C.
Dude, imagine Colorado. Like, they got Lars Eller, so they're probably out of it. But like, he's perfect, right? If the Flames retain salary, Backlund is a huge ad for a cup contender.
And like that would make sense to me. He's another age older next season.
So I think you have to look at those. And then like maybe in the summer you look for a hockey trade for somebody like Noah Hanifin to address your goal scoring issues. But
that'd be nice, huh?
There's a lot of possibilities if Brad just like you said, would get off the fence and pick and say I'm making a plan and I'm doing this. Instead of the alternative, which is get to next offseason, either lose people for nothing again or sign them to huge money deals that are going to be bad in 2 years.
Yeah, I wonder if like the surge, well, I don't know, the coming to the table of both Duer and Pelletier. I mean, these guys look like NHL players, do they not?
Yeah. Well,
like does that make trading somebody easier for Brad Tree Living? Because, and I mean, also, do you look at, I mean, the lines aren't working. We need to change the lines again. Totally. And I think obviously, like, okay, I tweeted after the game, like, dude, Nazem Kadri.
Yeah.
Use your fucking line mates, dude. I don't see this guy ever pass to Pelletier or Huberto ever. I think they got to split those two up, Huberto and Kadri. And I'm starting to think that one of the big problems that Huberto is having is playing with Kadri because
he's a puck hog.
He's a puck hog. And some people might think, oh, that's fine. Huberto's a passer. Kadri's a shooter. Doesn't always work like that. If you're a playmaker, you've seen it with Johnny. He doesn't always just go down. Like, how good was he when how good were some of those goals that him, Tkachuk, and Lindholm scored where it was just like they're all moving it together? Bingo, bango, bongo. You got the fucking give and goes. Like they were making plays together. Like Huberto needs someone with more dynamicness to his game than, dude, this is Kadri's game. As soon as he gets the puck, skate. Hang on to it as long as I possibly can. Oh, I try to go through this guy.
Try to dangle through everybody.
And then what was it? Like 2 games ago, he did a full lap around the entire offensive zone just before turning the puck over. It's like he'll pass up to the point, but he never utilizes Huberto, never utilizes Pelche, man. That's frustrating. If you're playing with a player like that, that is frustrating because there's nothing you can do. And it gets really tiring when the only role you have is just to drive the net to create some space for Kadri to fucking be a puck hog and shoot every fucking time. I think they got to change it up. I don't know who he should play with. I guess some people, I think maybe you were saying that the best he looked all season was with Dubé and Mangiapane. I don't know how you break up the back on Mangiapane Coleman line, but then my point is, do you look at the current roster? I don't know if Brad Tree Living does this. Maybe this is more Daryl, but do you maybe make a trade based on what your current roster is?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this coming into the season. We thought this was going to be the greatest season ever because finally you can slot Backlund down to the third C. Look at your center depth. Lindholm, Kadri, Backlund. Hasn't really worked out that great. But finally you had the solution coming into the season. Whereas now, if you're looking at it now, I think you have another problem. Like the lines don't work. Huberto and Kadri, I don't think it's a good long-term solution. I don't think it's going to bring this team success long-term. So maybe you factor that in. You say, you know what? We probably got to change the lines around, which means maybe we do have to end up breaking up the Backlund, Coleman, Mangiapane line. So if we do anyways, maybe we should see what we can get for Backlund. Like, I don't know.
Well, again, like, even if you don't, like, you don't have to trade for future. It's just about collecting an asset right now. Like, you look at, I don't know what the hell Vancouver's doing. They're using their assets to get, like, they used the Bo Horvat pick to get Phil Peronik today from Detroit, which is weird. But it's like, you can then reap, like, you look at what the Leafs did to get, they've repackaged stuff they've got. Like, that's what some teams are doing, right? You make a trade here, you package it up, you go elsewhere to get what you really need. Like, that's what they could do at the deadline. Okay, maybe you trade Backlund for picks, prospects, whatever, and then use that in the summer to go get what you really need, which is a player to play with Jonathan Huberto or something like that.
But right.
My point is, you're going to have to make changes anyways. Like some right. changes. You're not going to gut the team. The changes need to happen. Like you're saying, this roster is far from perfect. So if you can load up on some shit right now with prices are seemingly astronomical, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. This is always the biggest return you can get for players is at the trade deadline.
Dude, they could freaking Tampa Bay. Nashville got a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth for Tanner Janot.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
So, like, to your point, what Brad would make sense to do is unload a guy like Toffoli, say, 30-goal scorer. What team making a playoff push that needs extra scoring wouldn't want to have a guy like Toffoli?
Totally.
Doesn't make a shit ton.
You get him for another year after this. Elliot was saying, and this makes a lot of sense, Elliot was saying he could see Toffoli going to a team like Carolina. That seems like a very Carolina move. Justin Williams is there. There's a Toffoli connection there. So Carolina seems like, I don't know, there's been mixed reports on the Flames, like some people saying they're not going to do anything. Elliot seems to confirm what you're speculating is that Brad, there's deals to be made, but Brad's on the fence is what he's going to do now. Big surprise.
You know, can't just believe it in that group. Can't get off his hands. But what you were saying though is like, say you unload Toffoli, what could you get for him?
Yeah, I don't see why a first round draft pick or a good prospect or something a good young player is out of the question.
And let's say you got a nice return, like you said, if you wanted to, you could go ahead in the offseason and trade that exact pick for another player to replace him.
Exactly. It's just there's the thing that's like there's endless possibilities right now, right? And it's frustrating if the Flames don't just like take advantage of some of them. Like again, like I think what Washington has done is a perfect example. Like they're not gutting their team. They made like a really prudent move to make their team younger and more viable in the future and get an elite player who nobody even really thought or knew was available in Rasmus Sandin.
You don't think any team would see value in Lucic? I mean, he sucks at hockey, but
that I don't fight, know. Dude,
when he goes and fights
McDermott.
McDermott fucking drops him. It's like too bad he wasn't good at hockey because
even at 50% retained though, he's still like two and a bit. So well, I don't know
would he not bring anybody some value in a fourth line role?
I hope so, because I would love to see him gone by Friday. Thank you.
Imagine getting anything in return.
It would be a freaking miracle.
Futures.
And that's the thing. Like people are like, oh, what's the point of trading a seventh or an eighth? It's like, just do it. Why not? What's the difference? One more thing you have, right?
Yep. I personally, though, like, okay, we're throwing these names out there in potential trade bait, but obviously you should go with your oldest players, no? Like I think this trade Backlund, dude, because
yeah, you could sell high on him right now.
Right now, yeah, this is the highest, maybe not ever in his career, but in the last three seasons, arguably maybe the most value he could bring to a team. You could get a pretty good return. My big thing is with Backlund, sure, he's getting up there in age. He's been our best player, but is this team gonna win with Backlund? I don't know. I don't really see it. I don't know if we will. I don't know if he's the guy. You know what I mean? But I guess that's a call for the GM. And I mean, maybe it's
GM. I believe in the group. I believe in the group.
All right. So
I believe in the group. I there's so many opportunities. Like you look at, like, I'm not saying trade Coleman either, but it's just like the Oilers just paid like a pretty big price to get Matthias Ekholm, who's a very good player, but he's 33 years old on a long-term deal. So it's just like, if there was ever a time where it's like, hey, we're kind of in a reset here, maybe a guy like even Blake Coleman, he makes quite a bit of money.
He's been
very good for us. He'll be really good for a team who's going for it down the playoff stretch. If they want to pay to take that on and like, we don't have to retain salary, like do it. I'm just the possibilities this week. And it seems, I think Brad's missing out. The possibilities this week have been like whatever your mind could like. How many insane trades have you seen with like third parties retaining salary and just stuff we never expected to see? The possibilities have been as wide as your imagination can take you. Unfortunately, Brad's imagination has never been that deep to begin with. So the only team who hasn't made a trade yet. So it's just like kind of frustrating to see like all these other teams being like really creative on both sides of it. Like Kyle Dubas is going balls to the wall, making his team like, okay, we're going to go head to head against Tampa. Let's go. And then you have teams who are like selling, like Nashville, getting creative and just getting absolute hauls for guys. So it's just, again, annoying to see us just on the fence, kind of waiting it out and seemingly not taking advantage of some of these possibilities. This could change by Friday, but as of right now, man, it's just kind of like piss or get off the pot, Brad.
Well,
and I'm not saying gut the team either, but I'm just saying there's a lot of interesting things you could have been doing and could do still.
I have a feeling like he's doing, and I think he's probably doing the right thing. He's probably waiting till the last possible moment, because this team has been just, we've been sitting right there. Like, even imagine if we got great goaltending the last three games,
probably one three on. More wins.
Maybe we still lose against Colorado, but you've got at least two more wins easy. You don't blow the Vegas game, which I thought they played another good game.
They played great. That was one of their best games of the year.
Like, they're putting together solid games, and it's the same storyline. But he needs to wait to the very last moment, because if you say you beat the Leafs tomorrow and the Oilers lose tonight, now you're 3 points back of the Oilers. Same amount of games played. You're probably still there's three teams ahead of you.
If I'm Brad, I think you have to decide, like, you can't wait. And you, like, not in terms of wait to make the move, but know what you're doing.
Dude, you know he has no clue what he's doing.
Yeah, I know. He's just sitting on the bench.
He's gonna wait till the 11th hour and then sweat it out. And
he just sings that song to the guys all the time. Remember the Olympic song from 2010? I believe in the power of you and I.
I don't remember that one, but
you don't remember that song?
I wish you would sing more often on this podcast.
I believe together we'll fly. Remember the 2010 Olympics? They had that awful song. I watched it so much. It's burned in my memory.
Oh, man. Just to recap the Vegas game real quick, because they are putting together some really good outings. Even the Colorado game as a whole wasn't terrible. Didn't they outplay them in many aspects of the game? Like, didn't they have the deserve to win a meter after that?
Yeah, I think they were pretty good in that game.
Anyways, but Pelche opens up the scoring. Huberto, that line looked pretty good.
Huberto and Pelche looked great.
Dude, it was 3-1 with 15 minutes left in the game. Blew it.
And you knew it.
How did I know? Like, I won some more money.
There you
go. Every time the Flames are up, I bet against them and I always win. A little secret. Eh?
It's like my fantasy hockey hack. You just pick the backup goalie the Flames are playing. You'll win every time.
Exactly. So give us a quick breakdown on the Oilers trade, because Ekholm he's a bit of a stud, isn't he?
Oh, I mean, this trade for the Oilers. I know everyone's like, oh, they're giving up Barry. It's like Ekholm is such an upgrade on Barry for what they need.
More fucking goal scoring? Yeah, give me a fucking break.
Everyone's like, oh, but their power play. It's like, yeah, I think their power play would be fine. Like, you could put a pile on.
Oh, it was fucking Barry quarterbacking. Like, fuck that.
I mean, listen, he's older and on a pretty long-term deal, high money for an older guy, but like, this is exactly what the Oilers needed. Shut down D-man who plays tough. Like, yeah. And
At this point, I think, I don't know, man. Like, where are you at with the Oilers? Obviously, they're going to make the playoffs, but do they scare? I scare me as a player.
They scare this in the West. They scare the shit out of me.
Look at the West.
They can beat anyone.
If Colorado gets one injury or someone flukes out and they knock them out, who does fucking the Oilers have to go through to get to the final?
Dallas?
Come on.
Whoop-de-doo.
That is what's scaring me.
Winnipeg, then, maybe? Like, come on. They'll destroy them.
Sure, you're sitting there like, oh, the East is stacked. It's going to be a fucking bloodbath to come out of the East.
Like, the first round is going to be Tampa, Toronto, New Jersey, New York.
That first round is going to be epic. But by the time fucking Toronto or Tampa or Jersey or...
You're going to be murdered.
They're holy fuck.
Like, let's say you're the Leafs and you have to go through Tampa. Then you have to go through Boston, even if you beat Tampa. Then you have to go through... like probably one of New Jersey or New York. Like,
then you got to play McDavid.
Then Connor's waiting? Yeah, like, I don't know about that. I don't like your odds.
What? So someone, I don't know, man. Fuck.
It's so, just, it scares the shit out of me, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, all, I've honestly and already, did, this is funny we're talking about this, because I was mentally preparing for the Oilers to win a cup. Just like, I've been doing it as a practice, just so I can like, dude, come to, like, so I don't have to like die when it happens.
McDavid's on a fucking, dude, he's never scored 50 goals in his career. He just did it in
61 games.
Just when you thought he was a freak, he's even a bigger freak now. At this point, if you're Brad, you're calling Vegas and LA. Say, who do you want?
Yeah.
Pick a pick.
That's what I'd be doing.
We want to stock your team up.
Exactly. If at the very least, make sure the Oilers don't win, Brad. Give them Backlund and Tanev. Whoever, make a Backlund Tanev trade with Vegas or Colorado, that's like, or whoever.
That's like quitting your job with a mic job.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm out. Everybody has that story how they're going to quit. It's like, he already knows he's done anyways. Fuck it. I'm just going to give fucking freed players to these teams that will beat the Oilers. That's how I want to go. That's what I want to go down. Is how I ruin the team. Okay. You know,
if Brad did that, I'd be okay ruining the whole team. Give away anyone just to stop the Oilers at this point.
I mean, you did make a good point about this whole thing of like, okay, let's put something in the cupboards here, because otherwise, what you're faced with is this is like, you called it a scorched earth rebuild. Like, this is not a fun rebuild.
Well, right?
This is like, you're starting from absolute scratch.
With zero.
Because you don't, he's traded away a lot of picks already. He hasn't recouped many. So I don't know. He probably should trade Toffoli to the Knights.
Yeah, like the Flames have already given up like 6 picks in the next 3 drafts, like already, right? So it's not even about like, yeah, let's stock up on some assets. It's like, we need to recoup some assets that we've already blown.
Yeah, it's already looking dicey.
Yeah.
Now's a good time to make it not look so dicey. Anyways, I mean, like you said, rumors, Toffoli and Lindholm are both kind of not, I don't think they're hardcore rumors, but they're names that
free names that have come up. Yeah.
Do you think he's going to trade one of those guys?
Based on everything I know about Brad, I would be still surprised.
Yeah.
I don't think he's trading Lindholm. That's for sure.
Yeah, me either.
I would be.
That's his prized possession. Yeah.
Like, if he, that's his only claim to fame as a GM. Cause every time I say Brad Schilling's a bad GM, or another guy, Lindholm. So we can't do that.
The buck stops at Lindholm.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, everybody's, there's tons of rumors and we'll know in a few days, but like, I would still, you have to go with default, right? And you can't totally base past present behavior on past behavior, but Brad has never really done what he's, other than the first 2 years he was here and the team was supposedly rebuilding or whatever. So I don't know. I'd be surprised if he made any major moves, maybe one small thing, but it would still surprise me. I hope he does.
You got, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota. And then the schedule does get easier. But the easy
doesn't
schedule
matter.
Doesn't
they
mean
suck against bad teams.
The easy schedule is harder for this team for some reason. But I guess we'll see what happens with the Oilers game tonight and then the Toronto game tomorrow. But it'll be all eyes on Brad come Friday to see if there's any inkling of a vision or a direction for this team moving forward.
Cushion is a pillow with feathers, right?
You know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.